seasons. But what you need to know is you're going to be equipped with the Holy Spirit. You are going to get a supernatural dose of divinity, which will empower you for the task of being my witnesses. What's important for you is not when Israel gets lifted up, but that Jesus' ministry gets proclaimed. And so he says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. You're going to go out, you're going to proclaim that. You're going to tell everybody in your town, in your area, your neighboring countries, and the whole world. You're going to tell them everything you've seen and proclaim the truth about who God is. And as he said that, he was taken up into heaven. Now, I love stained glass. One of my favorite things to do is to look at stained glass. And you know, stained glass had a purpose. So if we had stained glass in this church, if we did it traditionally, historically, how the church would do it, on the left side would be four pivotal Old Testament stories. Maybe Abraham, or maybe the garden and Abraham, and then Noah and David, or whatever order they might be in. Four stories that an illiterate people, because when the church started, people couldn't read. Four stories that proclaim the truth about the text of the Old Testament. On the other side would be four stories about Jesus, so that there were actual pictures that people who couldn't read could look to and see the truth about God. And usually what you'll find in a church with stained glass is most of them on the front, they've got a picture of Jesus at Gethsemane. Have you ever seen that picture where he's on his knees praying on the rock, right? This is beautiful stained glass. And then on the back, if you ever look, a lot of churches with stained glass, and usually it's the pastor that only sees it, might be why it's my favorite. But on the back is a picture of Jesus in the clouds. Have you ever seen one of those? And aren't those clouds pretty? They almost look like Charmin clouds, you know, real puffy and white and cumulus, or I don't know, I didn't do well in that part in science class, but some really pretty puffy clouds. That's wrong. That's not the cloud Jesus was taken up in. The cloud Jesus was taken up in is what we've often called the Shekinah cloud. The cloud which manifested God's glory. Do you remember when Israel was going throughout the wilderness? But after they were freed from Egypt and before they were taken into the land of Canaan, they were led around by this cloud. And this cloud appeared during the day as a pillar of smoke and at night as a pillar of fire. And wherever that cloud went, Israel would follow. And when that cloud would stop, Israel would build the tabernacle, and that cloud, which symbolized God's glory, would jump, would just fill up the tabernacle in the Holy of Holy places. You remember when God's glory was manifest at Pentecost? It came down as things that looked like tongues on fire. Or Moses at the burning bush, right? The Shekinah cloud is what took Jesus up. This manifestation of peals of thunder and God's glory and fire and smoke. It wasn't pretty white Care Bear clouds. It was this Shekinah cloud that swept Jesus up and took him back into the throne room of the Father. And the disciples are looking at this and marveling and going, what happened? And these angels come and they go, men of Galilee, what are you looking up into heaven for? He will come back. In the same way he left, he will come back. When Jesus comes the second time, which we're going to deal with next week, but when Jesus comes again, he is going to come in peals of thunder in the Shekinah cloud. Don't look for puffy white clouds. Look for the Shekinah glory of God manifest with fire and smoke. But in all of this, Jesus is taken into heaven. And you're going, okay, Pastor, well, we understand the cross. I know my need for sin, and I know my need for atonement, so I know why the cross is important. The cross is important because Jesus substituted for me and paid the price for my sin. And I know why the resurrection is important, because the resurrection where Jesus came to life shows that God is the one who has power over life and death. And Jesus beat death, which is a consequence of sin. And so I don't have to fear death. And because Jesus was resurrected, I'll be resurrected. So Pastor, I know the important part, what the resurrection means for me. But what's it matter that Jesus went up to heaven? Why does the ascension matter? Well, that's what I want to clear up for us today. Because there's some extremely important things that we're going to learn about why the ascension matters. The first one, we're going to talk about four things today. The first one is that when Jesus ascended, it is important because for him to ascend meant the Holy Spirit could come down. So that's the first thing we're going to talk about. The second thing that we're going to talk about is that it's important that Jesus ascended because when he ascended, he went to prepare rooms for us. So that's the second thing we're going to talk about. The third thing, why the ascension is important, is because what did Jesus do when he ascended? And we're going to see that Scripture tells us he's interceding as a great high priest for us. And lastly, because he ascended into heaven, we will too. So let's look at the text and you can see where I came up with all these things, why the ascension is important. We're going to start today. I want to start in the Gospel of John. And we are going to take a look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16, there's only going to be one verse on the screen, but I'm going to read for you, and if you're following along, that's awesome. I want to read John chapter 16, verses 5 to 11. Now remember, the first thing I said is that the ascension is important because the ascension of Jesus going into heaven means that the Holy Spirit would be sent to us. Listen to how Jesus explains it. His disciples are upset. They're going, what do you mean you're going to go away from us, Jesus? We don't like this idea. Jesus says this, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Gang, one of the main reasons that the ascension is important, that when God became Emmanuel, God with us in the form of Jesus Christ, when the Word became flesh, born to the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, when Jesus was born, God came to us. But he was fully human, along with fully God. And being fully human means he can be in one place at a time. I want you to think about this for a minute. We know that God's all present. But when Jesus sat that aside to become a human, it meant that in his humanness, he could be in one place. So he was in Galilee, or he was in Judea, he was in Capernaum, or he was in Bethsaida, but he could never be in Capernaum and Bethsaida. He could never be in Galilee and Judea. He could never be in Mogensville and Greencastle. He could only be one place. And so Jesus says, listen, I know you're upset. I have to go away. But it is for your best advantage. He says, if I don't go away, the Helper won't come. The word he uses here for helper is paraclete. It's like somebody who comes alongside as your advocate. Somebody that comes alongside as your defender. Somebody that comes alongside. It's a legal term we would use of a lawyer. Somebody who comes alongside and pleads your case and defends who you are. Jesus says, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. So when Jesus did ascend into heaven, gang, what was awesome is because he went into heaven, he could send the Holy Spirit. And guess what? The Holy Spirit is in Mogensville and Greencastle. The Holy Spirit was in Judea, and then when the disciples spread, went to all the world with them. The Holy Spirit, being fully God, is all present. And so because Jesus ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit. And did you hear what the text says the Holy Spirit does? It convicts us. It convicts us of sin. It convicts us of righteousness. It convicts us to trust in God when we can't. One of the best things about Jesus going into heaven is he sent the Holy Spirit, which empowers us to believe. I want you to know this, church. Not one of you said yes to Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit first opening your eyes and ears so that you could see. Without Jesus going into heaven, none of us would have even been able to say yes to Jesus had it not been for the Holy Spirit to come. So the ascension is so important to what we believe. Because first of all, it means that the Holy Spirit would be sent to us. Without Jesus ascending, that wasn't going to happen. The second reason I think we can find is Jesus is, he's telling his disciples a little earlier in the Gospel of John. We'll get to chapter 14 in a second. His disciples are sad. It's a passage we often use in funeral texts. Because Jesus' disciples are sad because Jesus is going away and they're going, how are we going to live our life without you? What are you talking about? And Jesus tells them this in John chapter 14. I'm going to read for you a couple verses, but I think there'll just be one on the screen. Jesus says at the beginning of John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Remember, he just told them, I'm leaving you. And they're going, what? Why? How? We don't want this, Jesus. Stay with us. We need you. And he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, what I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. One of the amazing things about the ascension is the work that Jesus does after he ascends. He sends the Holy Spirit so that we might be emboldened, empowered, and that we might actually be able to understand who God is. And then his work continues in the throne room. So when he ascended, he entered into the throne room of God, sat back down in his rightful place as the Son, the second person of the Godhead. And one of the things that he does up there for us is he says, I am preparing a room for you. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. Guys, I want you, we probably don't appreciate this very much. Truthfully, because we all have pretty nice homes. They're pretty comfortable, aren't they? Anybody get cold last night? Just turn the heat up a little bit, right? Anybody have trouble getting water today? Nah, you just turned the sink on, didn't you? And if you were hungry, you went to your very nice refrigerator with cold food that you could have food in there for weeks, right? I want you to, for a minute, try to forget how comfortable and blessed we are. And I want you to put yourself in the ancient Near East. I want you to put yourself in the time of Jesus telling the disciples this message. At that time, when you wanted to get married, one of the things that you had to do was, if you were the man, you had to go to your parents' house. And you had to build a room on the house for your wife and your kids and you, your kids someday. So, in order to be married, you had to go and build the room ahead of time where you're going to live. It was a way to prove that you were going to be able to take care of your family. If you've ever been to a third world country, they still kind of do this. If you were ever with us in Guatemala, did you ever notice how they would have this concrete room, but then there was rebar sticking up? It's because if somebody wanted to come into the family and marry one of the daughters, or the son wanted to get a wife, they had to build up again. So every time you wanted to be part of the family and live in the home, you had to build your own room. This is the context where Jesus says, I'm going to build a room for you. Not one that you have to build, because truthfully, you couldn't build your own room in heaven because we all struggle with sin. But he says, because I dealt with sin, I'm going to ascend, and when I get up there, I am going to build a room just for you. In my Father's house, there's plenty of room. And I'm going to be like the bridegroom, the groom who goes ahead and builds a room just for my bride, just for the ones that I love. a building that's not built, you know, we've got some good bricklayers in this church, and y'all don't compare at all to how good of a builder Jesus Christ is. We've got some good carpenters. Greg and I put a roof on. I can tell you, Jesus' roof is way better than one that we built in Guatemala, brother. I can promise you that. He went and has prepared rooms for us, gang. He built rooms so that we wouldn't have to earn it. He built rooms that we could spend eternity in the presence of God. If he didn't ascend into heaven, he wouldn't have done that. So the ascension is so important for the ministry that Jesus accomplishes while he's up there. He sends the Holy Spirit so that we might know God. He's prepared a place for us to live forever. And then he sits at the right the hand of the Father, and he intercedes for us. I want you to think of the work that Jesus Christ did on earth. He is, as Hebrews, we're going to look at the book of Hebrews in a minute. And one of the great gifts that Hebrews is to the church is it explains to us the work of Jesus Christ, his death in light of the Old Testament system of sacrifice. See, when God gave Israel the land, and when he gave them, he said, "This is how I also want you to worship me in the land." And through their worship, there was this tabernacle they would build, and you would come into the tabernacle, and there had to be a priest. A priest had to come in on Israel's behalf, make a sacrifice, and take that sacrifice into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, and say, "Look, we make this sacrifice because of our sin. I make it on behalf of the people of Israel. Please forgive them, God. We send their sins out like a scapegoat into the wilderness. Please forgive Israel." And year after year, the high priest would have to do this. Year after year, the high priest on the Day of Atonement would have to enter into God's presence in the Holy of Holies and intercede for God's people. The book of Hebrews tells us, if you want to jump to that with me, take a look at, we're going to take a look, I believe it's chapter 7. We're going to look at chapter 7, verses 22 through maybe 27. But the key verse will be on the screen for you. But the book of Hebrews is saying here how Jesus is our great high priest. That what the priest of Israel would do, Jesus did, but not every year. He did it once and for all. That there would never again need to be any sacrifice. That his atonement was once and for all. And so he says in verse 22, "This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number, because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently." How awesome is that, gang? Jesus was not just a priest during Easter. Not just on Good Friday. But he ascended to the Father and is a priest right now for us. He continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. That verse there. He is able to save to the uttermost. The original language that we've translated this word uttermost means completely. And it also has a connotation of time. So he is able to save completely and at all times. But that's a lot of words to translate into English, so we just say to the uttermost. But truly what it says is he is able to completely save at all times. Gang, when Jesus died, his blood was the sacrifice. His blood atoned for our sin. And as the great high priest, when he ascended into heaven, he went into the presence of God, which the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle was just a shadow of the throne room of God. He went into the actual Holy of Holies, holding his priestly work for us, and said, "It's done. Their sin is atoned for," sat down at the Father's side and said, "Now, God, now, Father, we have to use the Spirit to intercede for them. We have got to save them when they don't know they need saving. We've got to put people around them that they don't even know they're supposed to witness to. We've got to put people around them that they don't even know they're supposed to be witnessed to by." Right now, gang, Jesus is sitting in the throne room of God going, "We have got to do something for him. We have got to do something for her." Commanding the host of all of the angels, which we can't see, surrounding us, protecting us, watching over us, guiding our words through the power of the Holy Spirit. His priestly work was accomplished, and he took it into the Holy of Holies, in front of the very presence of Yahweh himself, sits it down, and says, "It's done now and forever." But if he didn't ascend, he wouldn't have entered into that. If he didn't ascend, he wouldn't have gone into the Holy of Holies. If he didn't ascend, he wouldn't be sitting right now beside the Father going, "Watch out for them. We got to do something. Save them. Deliver them. Protect them. Let them suffer and then encourage and let them know why I'm letting them suffer." He wouldn't have done any, he wouldn't be doing any of that if he didn't ascend back into the throne room of God. So gang, I've got one more for you. The last and the most important thing, I think, that matters about Jesus' ascension is that because he walked into that throne room, we can too. Do you know, when they would build the tabernacle, when they would erect the tabernacle, and whoever was the high priest that would go into the Holy of Holies, they would actually tie a rope around him. And they'd put a bell on him. And the reason they would do that is he was going in the presence of God as a sinful creature. And the holy, magnificent, all-powerful God was about to come face to face with them. There's a pretty good chance that high priest was going to die. And if they did, nobody was going in for him. So they tied a belt around him. And they would hear with the bell if he was moving or not. Because if he died, if the power of God overcame him, they weren't going in. So they could drag him out by the rope. That's how impossible and difficult it is for us to be in the presence of God. Do you remember when God's about to give the law? And he basically tells Israel, "Get yourself together. Go get clean. And Moses is going to come up the foot of the mountain. But you tell the priests to stop early. And then you come up by yourself, Moses, because my glory will kill all of them. If they touch the mountain that I stand on, they're dead. Because we're broken, sinful creatures. And God is holy and perfect and magnificent." And ever since the garden, in the greatest story ever told, we are missing what we longed for, what we were created to be, which is in the presence of our loving God and loving him with all of our heart. But we changed. God didn't. We rebelled. God remained faithful. We became sin and death, and he remained as holy and perfect. So because we changed, we couldn't be in his presence anymore. We got kicked out of the garden. So Emmanuel came to be with us. And he lived like one of us and he obeyed the law perfectly. And when he died on the cross, he died for our sins. And when he rose, he beat death. And when he ascended, he walked back into the presence of God as fully human and fully God, but as fully human, and made it possible that all other humans could someday ascend to. Listen to the text. One last text for you here. It's going to come from the first letter of the Thessalonian church that Paul writes. We're going to look at chapter 4. Again, the key verse is up there, but I want you to hear the context of it. Paul is telling the Thessalonians, the Thessalonians have become lazy. They use Jesus' second coming as a reason to quit doing anything. Like, Jesus is coming soon. Why do I need to go to work? Jesus is coming soon. Leave the dishes in the sink. Jesus is coming soon. There's really not much to do. And Paul writes a letter to them, and he's got to clear up their understanding of the second coming of the Lord, which we're actually going to work on next week. But I want to share with you, what Paul says to them about our ascension. Beginning in verse 13 of chapter 4, but we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, though Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep, those who have died. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Because Jesus ascended into the throne room, the presence of God, we can too. We often talk about his resurrections as the first fruits. Because he was resurrected, we'll be resurrected. Because he ascended and walked into the throne room of God, someday those who believe in him will walk back into the throne room of God. Because he walked into the presence of God, you and I will someday walk into the presence of God. We who were kicked out of the garden will be allowed to get into the new heaven and the new earth because Jesus went first. And if he never ascended, then he never would have went back into the presence of the Lord, the Father. His ascension is so important for us, church. It is an integral part of the greatest story. It's the end scene for now of his ministry and life on this earth. Don't forget it. Don't look over it. Don't go Good Friday, Easter, Sunday. He's coming again. He descended from heaven at Christmas and he went back up just before Pentecost. And because he went up, we have the Holy Spirit which teaches us and mentors us. And the Holy Spirit makes us go from dead in our trespasses to alive in Christ. He has ascended to make a room for you and I, one that's far better than anything we could imagine. He sits right now, moving the host of armies, so that you and I might know and love and have a relationship with him and be used by him to make disciples. And he makes a way for us to walk past the cherubim and the flaming sword back into the garden with God. Had he not ascended, none of this would be possible. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you have gone before us, that you have come to us, that you have died for us, that you have lived for us. And that you have gone before us back to the Father. Oh Lord, we confess we've neglected this teaching. We confess that we don't even put it in our music anymore, Lord. It's not even in our songs. But it is so important that you as fully human went back into the presence of the Father. Thank you, God, for these gifts that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the text which explains to us how important it was that day when the Shekinah glory came and took you away. Thank you, God, for teaching us how when the disciples were disheartened, the glory and the joy and the power that what happened when you went back into heaven, what it meant for them and what it means for us. And God, we pray that we would not neglect such great a salvation. God, that we would consider our great high priest who came into your presence bearing his own blood for us. That we would consider our God who came to this earth and left to hand make a perfect home. to send the Spirit to give us the right words in the right moments, to open our eyes. God, if you never went back to heaven, we wouldn't know you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the work that you have done. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being sent by Jesus and from the Father to our hearts. Thank you for saving us and regenerating our heart, that we might know the truth about our great high priest. Jesus, thank you for your obedience, for being humbled, taking the form of a servant, and then being exalted by the Father. Thank you, Jesus, for going back to the throne room and promising to come and get us and take us there too. We're so grateful for what you've done, Lord. Help us to live our lives as grateful people, telling this story, proclaiming the truth about God everywhere we go. Help us to live set apart in different lives so that people may know Jesus Christ because they've seen us recreated in his image. Help us, Lord, that we might live worthy of the calling of those who follow the ascended Messiah. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.